I'm glad to be back here this evening. I'm glad that you too are back here this evening. And we want to speak of something that is desirable to all of us. The title of the sermon this evening is You Are Needed. Let me ask you a question. Can you imagine a world and how empty it would be, or how purposeless it would be if no one needed us, or no one needed something that we could do for them? In thinking about this afternoon, it's a little silly, but one of the things that popped into my mind, there wouldn't be anybody at the corner of 150 and the ramp at exit 36 holding a sign because they were out of work and they needed something, or because that's the way they make their living, whatever the case may be. But everybody wants to be needed in some way. Sometimes when the cares of life come closing in and the constraints of our jobs and family and that sort of thing seem to be popping up faster than we can handle them, we maybe want to be needed just a little less. But the truth of the matter is everybody wants to be needed. And the truth of the matter is that you are needed. Now, we're talking this evening relative to our condition, our situation in the world, and yes, we are needed. In fact, our text, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, tells us what Jesus said to those disciples as he was talking to them, and how that we are all needed. He said unto them, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 beginning, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We think as we go through this life and as we do those things which are ours to do in this life that we don't really have much of a purpose. But Jesus tells us that we do. And that purpose is to let your light so shine before men. Number one, that they may see your good works. But most importantly, that they may also glorify the Father which is in heaven. I want to show tonight that our Christian example is needed in this world. First and foremost, we must establish the fact that the world needs Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, we'll see words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. He told them who he was, of what he was, and the only way to come to the Father was through him. When that was mentioned in before the Pharisees, they called it blasphemy. But it is the truth, and we see it spoken here in John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it is an absolute fact that the world needs Jesus. We might think, well, if the world needs Jesus, and Jesus is the way, he's the truth and the life, and through him people can come to the Father, then how am I needed? Well, the truth of the matter again is that much of the world denies Christ. If you turn to Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1, we'll see words written by the psalmist given to him by the Spirit that kind of describes the world that we live in today. It was the world that he lived in also. The fact is that things haven't really changed. And this is just as true today as it was then. He says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, and they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." There are those today who begin to question and say, "I don't know if there is a God." Well, there is. Well, how do you know? Well, the earth is not spun off of its axis and slung off into space. Things that were set in order from the creation are kept in order by the word of God. But the world yet still wants to deny Christ. They want to deny God. And they want to say, what is our purpose for living? They often think that their purpose for living is to go through this life and get what you can and enjoy what you can while you're here. and then you die. People have thought that for thousands of years. But God had a plan. And that plan is being fulfilled and has been fulfilled. And it's continually being fulfilled. And that's where we come in. Our friends need us and our example. Your friends need you and your example. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26, we see the writer of Proverbs giving us words that whereby we might understand the importance of this. He says, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces him. What's he saying there? The way of the wicked seduces them, is pulling them out, is telling them, hey, come on out and join us. We're having fun. There are many who go out on the weekends to have fun. And they do so based upon the world's definition of fun. And it's not so fun the next morning. It's not so fun when they, because of their inability to react, wrap their vehicle around a telephone pole and kill some of their friends. The way of the wicked seduces them and pulls them out. So our friends need us, and they need our example. Even if our friends do not want the example that we put before them, our family needs us also. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, we find a passage written to those Israelites, how they were to conduct themselves, how they were to bring up their children properly, the things that they were to teach their children, and these things should be done now. They were to have been done then. All we need to do is go back and look at the Old Testament. Look at the example of the Old Testament, how that they were needed. They were needed, and they were needed to guide their children, and we can see what happened when they didn't guide their children. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. This seems like a little overkill, doesn't it? What if indeed we were to mention Christianity to our family? I'm going to tell you from experience what's going to happen. In many, many cases, you're going to be told that you're some sort of religious nut. In many, many cases, you're going to be told that we don't need that. But the fact of the matter is, your family does need you. And if you do not reach every member of your family, you can possibly reach one member of your family. The world needs you. It's interesting that I started with the friends, then I went to the family, and then I went to the world. Because your friends and your family are in the world. In fact, we are in the world. And everyone that is in the world needs you. Why would I say that? Because according to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, according to the 6 o'clock news, according to anything that you can read telling about the events that occurred in this nation on a given day, the world definitely needs us. The world has forgotten what is right and what is wrong. It seems as though they've gone crazy. But in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, he warns them and says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Then why are you needed? Because they've forgotten the difference between right and wrong. Or they've never been taught the difference between right and wrong. You take a child that has never been told that it's wrong to steal. Perhaps that's how he gets his meals. A couple of children One distracts the business owner. The other one slips food into his jacket, and they leave. And they've sustained themselves this way for a number of years. Nobody's ever told them this is wrong. The point is, the world needs you because it has forgotten what is right and what is wrong. We need to tell them what is right, and then we need to be able to show them in God's Word. It's not just enough to say, my opinion on this is such and such. What we need to do is say in the Bible, that which was given us by God, that which will help us determine whether we are going to spend eternity with Him or eternity separated from Him, says that such and such is wrong. The world today does what pleases them. Again, pick up a newspaper. Listen to the news. You'll see abortion. You'll see homosexuality. You'll see all sorts of evilness as viewed by the world as becoming normal. I think I preached a sermon here one time, and it was called Desensitized. That's what's wrong with the world. The things that used to be repulsive now no longer are. One of the biggest shocks that we had is there was a certain movie that someone who was a Christian told us, oh yeah, I've seen such and such a movie. It's great. So we decided to have a family, a member of the church, or people that were members of the church, over to our house to watch that movie. Whoa! We were shocked. If indeed asked about it, many people would have said, well, that's the way the world talks. What happened to coming out from among them and being a separate people? In Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 32, we will see what has happened to the world. Why they do those things which please them. It's because they're not looking in the right place. Because they are looking to themselves to be the authority. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. That's a fact that we need to be aware of. God will not force you to be faithful. God will not force you to do what is right. He gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense for their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It sounds like the evening news, doesn't it? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperer, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. What a list! And I want you to focus real hard on the 32nd verse and then ask yourselves the question, why does the world need us? Because the Bible tells us there, they who knowing the judgment of God that they are which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We need to understand that we've got to warn the world. Why should we warn the world? You know, some can be saved. We look around today and we think sometimes that it's an impossibility. We talk to people and say, hey, come visit us. Occasionally, some people come visit us and they say, hey, we really enjoyed your service. And you never see them again. John 3:17 says that some can be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's still hope for some people. In fact, if they are alive today and we can reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is hope. There's hope that we can reach them. Now, they don't have any hope of eternal life at present because they have to be reached with the gospel. Some, however, cannot be saved. It's interesting that we discussed this morning predestination. I'm not saying that there are some who cannot be saved no matter what they do. What I'm saying is that there are some who refuse to be saved. Acts chapter 28, verse 27 points this out, where it says there, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Kind of reminds me of a child. You want to cover up your eyes so the monster disappears, right? You want to cover up your eyes so that the wrath of God disappears. Unfortunately, it don't work that way. "Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." It's possible if they will. And we're needed. The world will pay the price. You know, all of the world one day will pay for the way they have gone. Everyone will pay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 points this out to us. And we needn't think that we won't be in that number. We will. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." There are those who have done good. There are those who have done not so good. There are those who are doing good. There are those who are doing not so good. But all will stand before God upon their own merits. Now, can we earn salvation? Absolutely not. But the grace of God is extended to all. And he did so in the form of his word. And he's given it to us so that we could be saved. And we are needed to take it to those who are not hearing it. Those who are not seeing it. Those who have not obeyed it. Because folks cannot turn to the truth unless they are told what to do. We find this in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. We have there the account of the first gospel sermon in the New Testament age. As Peter and the others had been directed, they waited in Jerusalem until they received power from on high. As they received power from on high, there was the sound of the rushing mighty wind. There was the cloven tongues like as a fire. And all the people gathered together to see what the ruckus was. And they had the opportunity. They had their attention. And they said, "These are the words which are given so that you might be saved." Now when they heard this, Acts 2:37, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I suspect as we read that and we read over it, we do so without the urgency that was in their voice. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Friends, we are needed. Folks cannot turn to the truth unless they are told what to do. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." How are you going to know the truth unless you and I attend to the needs of those that are lost and take the truth to them? You know, the world thinks they have plenty of time. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 45, we see one of the world who thinks that he has plenty of time. He's much like those of the world today who think, you know what, I'm just 30 years old. I've got plenty of time. He's like those today who think, you know, people are living longer because we have better health care, because we have better understanding of what we must do to take care of our bodies and whatever excuse they might use. And tragically, they leave this life because of some accident. Notice in Acts chapter 24 and verse 45, Felix listened to Paul reasoning of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and it affected him. Paul was needed. and he was doing those things which he needed to do. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee." You know, I suspect if Felix would have obeyed the gospel, we'd have some record of it. I hope he did. But we have no record. Therefore, we can say that if he did not obey the gospel, he spurned his opportunity. And that convenient season never came. You're needed. Because there are those out there that are lost. We are all needed. Our friends and our family need us. They need us to be a good example. I say that because, you know, friends can build you up or they can tear you down. As a young boy, my daddy warned me, be careful with the fellows you hang around with. I didn't understand it so much then. I came to understand it. That there were some people who you did not want to associate with because they would draw you into their wicked plans. They would perhaps try to get you to do things. We all need friends that build us up. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, we see a statement regarding friends that we all should understand. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. We all need that friend, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But how are they going to know about that friend unless we are a friend and tell people the truth? You know, Christian friends are the best friends of all. People often want to say, you know, I've got friends that aren't Christians. Let the chips fall. Let things get bad. Let's see how many friends you've got. There are those that we like to call fair weather friends. You know, as long as everything's going well and you're buying the hamburgers, hey, they're there. But wait till you're broke and you need a hamburger. Where are the friends? Or wait till you have a real need. Christian friends are the best friends of all, sharing alike precious faith. They have like convictions and the same love for the Lord and encourage one another. And regardless of whether you ask for it or not, if there's a need there, they will show. They will arrive and they'll say, let's take care of this. They needed this as the events that are depicted in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. They're being contemplated. He told them, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. We need to understand that part of this is figurative life or language. Part of it is literal language. So that, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. He says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You know what? To some of those people, the tribulation of 10 days might have brought about death. Be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You need to be friends to your Christian brothers and sisters. Your family needs you to help guide them in learning about God and following Him. You know, our families must be educated. And there's two ways to teach them. First and foremost, you must live the Christian life in front of them. It does absolutely no good whatsoever for you to live like the devil and preach the Bible. Your family will not listen, but you are needed. You are needed to educate your family. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9? And thou shalt, or starting with verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And if you look at those four periods of time, that covers the entirety of the day. You're needed because our families need to be seeking God first. And somebody has to set the example. Somebody has to say, come on, family, let's go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 teaches us that we're to be seeking God first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to worry about the things of this world or the things that we're going to do without. Because when it's all said and done, the things of this world are done. They're gone. What am I saying? You are needed because there is work to do. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he told them of the work to do. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, every human has a soul. And that soul will live on for eternity somewhere. It will exist for eternity, I should say. Because there are some that will die for eternity. It will not be quenched. But you are needed to preach the gospel to every creature. We are to bring glad tidings to people. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, we see a series of questions asked that are also asked in the Old Testament. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It then says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. These glad tidings of good things ought to be brought, and you can do it. You're needed. Because the world cannot save itself. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we see where salvation is. It says, therefore, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the world will look for salvation in absolutely every avenue that it can find. Why, Solomon looked for it in riches. He looked for it in women. He looked for it in everything. And his conclusion was that all was vanity. And the entirety of the work of man is to do the will of God. You're needed because the world doesn't know that. Why are you needed? You must reach out in love to the world. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 tells us this. And this is something we need to understand because sometimes dealing with the world is wearisome. Sometimes they don't get it the first time. Sometimes they don't get it the 10th time. But we must persist. And we must do it in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We must continue to preach the truth and do so in love. We are needed because we must be what Christ wants us to be for the world, to set the example. So in order to do that, we must take advantage of our opportunities. Years ago, I'd recently become a child of God. Having been become a child of God, I would go to people and I would say to them, hey, have you heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, I don't really know it that well, but why don't you come with me to services? I had an instructor in the diving school I went to. For whatever strange reason, I did not ever invite him to services. He went home one weekend during a break, just after I had graduated from the school, and he died. It haunts me to this day. We must take advantage of our opportunities. Jesus was contemplating going back to Judea. In John chapter 11 and verse 18, and his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? There was something that needed to be done. He needed to go. He needed to see about his friend Lazarus. He needed to do so for their benefit. We must do what we can to teach others. We are needed because the world is filled with people who can be taught. We just got to find them. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, we find a rarity. We find one coming and seeking. Wouldn't it be great today? You erect a building, you fill it with pews, you find somebody that can preach and teach the gospel, you put a sign out front, and then you've got to tell people, I'm sorry, you'll have to come back tonight, we're full. Ain't it going to happen? However, this young man was looking for the truth, and as we continue to read the story, we find out that maybe he really wasn't. Behold, one came and said to him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? We know the story. Jesus said, do these things, and he with pride said, hey, I've done these things since I was a youth. He said, go sell everything you have, take up thy cross and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. Why? Maybe he wasn't really seeking the truth. But Jesus had the opportunity and he didn't pass it up. But we cannot become discouraged or stop working because of the few who do not want to be taught or learn. Oftentimes, when you're talking with people, they will tell you, do not bring this up to me again. I don't want to hear it. The only thing at that point we can do is say, I'm always here if you want to talk about it. Don't let them shut the door. There are still many who are willing to learn. John chapter 4, verse 35 teaches us this. Jesus was talking to his disciples. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto thee, or unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. In this world, there are many things that are true. One such thing is that not everybody wants to hear the truth. There are some who don't know that they haven't heard the truth. Perhaps if we reach them, they will want it. We've got to understand that we are needed. Do you know that it is our job to carry on the work that Jesus Christ started with his death on Calvary's cross? It's our job to carry out the work that the apostles and others that have been chosen to write have given to us as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's up to us. We ask ourselves sometimes, perhaps silently, how long can the church continue? We seem to be dwindling in numbers. People just don't seem to care. Yes, in this world, you are needed. Perhaps tonight, you've heard some things that have touched your heart. Perhaps tonight, you've heard some things that make you want to consider, where am I going to spend eternity? Well, let me tell you how to lock in to eternity. The Bible teaches for a person to become a child of God, they must hear the word of God. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We not only have to hear it, but we have to do it. Well, what do we have to do? Well, John 8, 24, Jesus said that we must believe. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter, when those people asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do, told them what they must do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We see in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 that we are to confess Jesus Christ before men. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then we're to be baptized. Again, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent. But he also said unto them, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. It's absolutely necessary. It's not negotiable. And then we must live faithfully until death. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 gives us this information. It gives us the example of those who have not lived faithfully unto death. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That's the plan of God, and it's simple. And it's your job and my job to go out and tell others, therefore, you are needed. I want to tell you tonight, there's another situation that exists. And it's a sad situation. It's one in which is described in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 that we just read. There are those who have heard the word of truth, who have obeyed the gospel, and then for whatever reason have gone back into the world. Ask yourself, am I of that number? If so, don't despair, because I'm needed, because I need to tell you what the Bible says to do in that situation. We are to repent and pray. Acts chapter 8, verse 22 says, repent therefore this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Tonight, you're needed. There's work to do. But if you need to respond to the gospel invitation so you can help us with that work, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.